Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the White House blacklists 8 Chinese tech companies.
Samsung earnings top estimates on stronger smartphone demand.
Hong Kong Exchanges calls off its bid for London Stock Exchange Group.
And Wall Street awaits word from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
President Trump says the U.S. has done enough amid warnings about pulling troops out of Syria. Plus, a key figure in the impeachment probe will testify on Capitol Hill. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees have advanced to the American League Championship Series. They finished a sweep of the Twins. Three other teams stayed alive: Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are a little changed to lower this morning. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 18. NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. So is the CAC in Paris. The FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.54%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 44 cents at $53.19 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.04.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0991 against the dollar. The yen, 107.15. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest in U.S.-China relations, with the White House now placing 8 Chinese tech companies on a blacklist. The move comes just days before trade negotiations resume in Washington. We get more now from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
So these are major companies, and they've been hit by the U.S. Commerce Department with this blacklisting because the U.S. says that they are part of the problem in terms of the mass detention of minority Muslim people in an area of China called Xinjiang. Now, according to the United Nations, around 1 million people are held in what people call re-education camps. Others have called them concentration camps. And what the U.S. is saying essentially is that these companies have been complicit in the build-out of these camps in terms of the surveillance, but also the broader surveillance structure that's been put to play in this region to try to control that population. So these are not small companies, and this is a new front now in terms of how the U.S. is trying to pressure China.
Now, China says stay tuned for retaliatory measures in response to the blacklist. No word yet on what form that retaliation may take.
The blacklist did little to dampen sentiment in Asia today, with stocks jumping the most in nearly a month. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Chinese equities gained after resuming trade for the first time in a week. And despite a weaker-than-expected services PMI read, the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong also rose after resuming trade following Monday's public holiday and another weekend of protests. In Seoul, Samsung's better-than-expected preliminary third-quarter numbers lifted the KOSPI, while in Tokyo, a week weaker yen saw the Nikkei 225 close higher by 1% to 21,587 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Juliet, those shares of Samsung rose 2.5% after strong smartphone demand offset price declines in memory chips. Mark Newman is senior research analyst at Sanford Bernstein.
Handsets is doing quite well. Semiconductors also some signs of improvement. Memory prices are still falling, but we are seeing recovery in demand. That's what's most important for this stock, is the turnaround in memory prices. We're already starting to see the early signs of that starting now.
Operating profit for Samsung came in above estimates, but is still down more than 50% from a year earlier.
Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing is dropping its bid for London Stock Exchange Group. Instead, Hong Kong Exchanges will build its business in Asia, and LSE will focus on its acquisition of Refinitiv. Bloomberg's Manuel Baguri reports from Hong Kong.
For LSE, clearly, they want to close their deal to buy Refinitiv, the data provider, so that's on track. And for Hong Kong Stock Exchange, they will have to figure out what they want to be in the future, what they want to buy. Clearly, they have a lot of firepower to do something big if they want, but these deals in exchanges are so rare that they may have to think outside the box and look for more niche opportunities, something more specific.
Shares of Hong Kong exchanges are up 2%, while LSE is down 6%. We should mention Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio, competes with Refinitiv in providing data and information to the financial industry.
Well, back here in the U.S., it's all about the Federal Reserve today as Chairman Jerome Powell delivers remarks at a conference in Denver. Bloomberg's Michael McKee is there and brings us this report.
A majority of those attending the National Association for Business Economics conference see the Fed remaining on hold for the rest of the year. Markets, however, have priced in a rate cut at the October 30th meeting. Chairman Powell's speech may settle the debate, at least for this month. There are plenty of signs the economy is slowing, but little evidence of a recession ahead. Fed officials have been consistent in saying they're watching the data, but in this cycle, the central bank hasn't pushed back on market pricing. This may be Chairman Powell's last chance. In Denver, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Chairman Powell delivers those remarks at 2:30 Wall Street time, followed by a Q&A session. We'll bring it all to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Economic data also on today's agenda, with the Labor Department issuing the Producer Price Index for September. Economists forecast an increase of 0.1%. Bloomberg's Vinny Valjudice has more.
The Producer Price Index is a barometer of wholesale goods, and in August it showed little change, rising 0.1%. But core PPI, excluding food and energy, increased at a faster clip. Where do we go from here? Bloomberg Economics sees moderation based on the year-over-year pace of finished core goods. Vinny Valjudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. We have some upbeat economic data out of Germany, where industrial production unexpectedly rebounded in August. Output rose 0.3% from July, despite a big drop in energy. Economists had forecast no change. Still, though, the outlook for the German economy remains uncertain, with industrial production down 4% on the year.
And the Union for Southwest Airlines Pilots is suing Boeing over the 737 MAX. The suit claims Boeing rushed the output of the plane in order to stay competitive and accuses the company of withholding key information about a feature linked to two fatal crashes. Southwest is the largest operator of the MAX, which has been grounded since March. Boeing calls the suit meritless. S&P futures are now down 3 points. And Dow futures are down 22. Straight ahead, we'll have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is warning there will be big trouble if any American personnel in Syria are injured as Turkey prepares to mount an operation against Kurdish fighters. But Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports Trump appears committed to withdrawing U.S. troops, even in the face of strong opposition from fellow Republicans.
The president says he's trying to fulfill his pledge to bring American forces home, and these troops in Syria were only supposed to be there a short time.
Just a tiny spot, like a 30 to 90-day period.
But that, he says, was many years ago.
It's time.
Trump dismissed the suggestion he's siding with Turkey over American allied Kurds who fought alongside U.S. forces to defeat the Islamic Republic. He said Turkey and the Kurds have been fighting for hundreds of years and declared, I'm not siding with anybody. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, will be deposed today on Capitol Hill. Sondland has become a key figure in the Trump impeachment probe. Sondland donated $1 million to Trump's election effort and later was appointed ambassador. Two more parents face sentencing today in the college admissions cheating case. Gregory and Marcia Abbott say they are good people who made a terrible mistake when they agreed to pay $125,000 to have a proctor correct their daughter's answers on the ACT and two SAT exams to help get her into Duke. Meanwhile, the U.S. attorney in the cases, Andrew Lulling, was asked by ABC why prosecutors only asked for a month of jail time for actress Felicity Huffman.
There's a few things working in her favor. She took responsibility almost immediately. She was contrite, did not try to minimize her conduct. I think she handled it in a very classy way.
Huffman received a 14-day sentence. Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam said her government could handle growing violence without a military intervention by Beijing, but did not rule out seeking China's help or invoking further emergency measures.
If the situation becomes so bad, then no options could be ruled out.
Lam condemned the weekend's violence as some of the worst in the past 4 months. China State TV has halted NBA broadcasts for the exhibition season. For now, it comes after the general manager of the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, tweeted support for Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, plenty of Yankee heroes last night as they finished the Twins with a 5-1 win in Minnesota. None more so than Gleyber Torres. He homered in the second inning. He doubled and scored in the seventh, doubled and scored in the ninth, and he was part of a defensive gem with two outs and two on in the fifth inning. Shifted into the hole, a sliding snag of a grounder, and DJ LeMahieu picked up the short hop throw. Torres and the Yankees sweep the series, move on to the ALCS.
Happy we won that series. I mean, we compete all season long. We know we got too many injuries, too many back teams, but we focus. I mean, we compete every time, and now we got everybody healthy. So Sevy is healthy, all the pitchers healthy, and hitters too. So that is the time to enjoy, play really good baseball like that, and try to win games.
He mentioned Luis Severino, four scoreless innings, but he had to work out of bases loaded jams in the second and third. In the second inning, the Twins had three on, nobody out, couldn't score. Minnesota's now lost 16 consecutive postseason games, and 13 of those have been versus the Yankees. Tampa Bay stayed alive, 10-3 over Houston, so they've got game four tonight. Justin Verlander starts for the Astros on short rest. Both NLDS go into a decisive game five tomorrow. St. Louis topped Atlanta 5-4, 10 innings. The Cards tied the game in the eighth. Washington down the Dodgers 6-1. Ryan Zimmerman, who's been with the Nats for 15 years, had the big hit, a three-run homer. A Monday night blowout, 49ers over the Browns 31-3. San Francisco is 4-0. The Giants will be without top wideout Sterling Shepard Thursday at New England. He's in concussion protocol. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And U.S. Women World Cup winners Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe say they'd be paid more than three times as much for their achievements if they were men. They're firing back at the U.S. Soccer Federation, which argued last week that they couldn't represent other female players in a lawsuit over unequal pay because they earn more than the highest paid players on the men's team. Morgan and Rapinoe argue they played more games and won two World Cups, whereas the men's team didn't even qualify. This is Bloomberg. Sports is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen. They solve. They do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower. European shares are lower this morning as investors weigh the chances of a breakthrough in high-level trade talks between the U.S. and China starting this week. Treasuries are edging higher, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 3 points. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 31 cents at $53.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 70 cents at $15.03.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.0987 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2254, and the yen at 107.17. And today we are watching for a report on small business optimism out at 6 o'clock Wall Street time. At 8:30, it's the producer price index. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Republicans and Democrats are accusing President Donald Trump of sacrificing an ally and undermining American credibility by abandoning Kurdish fighters in Syria. The president says he's keeping a campaign promise to withdraw U.S. troops from what he calls endless war in the Middle East. President Trump says the impeachment inquiry underway by House Democrats is a scam that's making it harder for him to do his job. House committees expect to hear from more witnesses this week, with a deposition set for today for the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland. In baseball, the Yankees swept the Twins in their ALDS to advance. The Nationals beat the Dodgers 6-1 to force a deciding Game 5 in their NLDS. Monday Night Football, the 49ers clobbered the Browns 31-3. China State TV has canceled airing the NBA's exhibition games after a backlash from a tweet by the Houston Rockets GM for supporting Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And speaking of China, we continue to follow the latest headlines in the U.S.-China trade dispute. Lori Calvesina joins us now. She's head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Lori, how should markets take these latest headlines that the U.S. is blacklisting these eight Chinese tech companies, and now China is saying stay tuned when it comes to retaliation?
Well, I think we do have to keep a close eye in terms of what's going on with the trade negotiations. We have found that greater optimism about getting a trade deal done really fueled this latest upswing in markets that we saw. And we noticed specifically that the most trade-sensitive stocks were really outperforming very strongly. So I do think that this is a huge issue for the market. You know, our own view has been we've been a little bit worried that markets were setting up for disappointment. But I do think you have to absolutely keep a close eye on this today.
So does this blacklisting dampen that positive sentiment by just the fact that the talks are back on?
I think we'll have to see. You know, I think we'll have to stay tuned for that. I do think that there's been a lot of investor enthusiasm about the fact that talks are happening this week, and that's been viewed as a positive sign.
Well, what are you going to be looking for by the end of this week as those talks get underway when it comes to a potential breakthrough on trade?
So, you know, what I always like to watch is the sector reactions to individual pieces of news. And one place that we've been watching specifically has been the industrial sector, which has really been, you know, sort of at the forefront of the battle on the trade war with China. We actually recently upgraded that sector because we think the stocks are incredibly undervalued relative to the broad market. We've actually found on our model they're trading close to financial crisis lows relative to the S&P. So I'd really want to keep an eye on that particular area of the market as we get the news throughout the week.
Do you think political considerations are going to lead either side to get closer to reaching a deal, particularly on the U.S. side, as we get closer to the November 2020 election?
You know, I think it's tough to say. I mean, one of the things we did when we looked at our investor survey back in September, we actually asked investors, do you think a trade deal is going to get done? And if you do, when do you think it's going to happen? And what was really interesting is that we found there wasn't much consensus on the timing of a trade deal getting done, but about 64% of the investors we polled told us that they thought it would be done by the end of 3Q 2020 before the election. So I would certainly say that some of this optimism that we saw in the markets over the trade deal was driven by the idea that the U.S. would want to get it done before the election.
I want to ask you about a note you wrote the other day about the Democratic presidential race and what impact that could have on markets. Elizabeth Warren, do you think she could be a downside risk for equities?
Sure. So the piece that we put out on Monday, we said that we do think that there's some potential downside in markets in the first half of 2020 on the basis of the 2020 election coming into focus. And as far as the timing, you know, we think what's really key to understand is that that's when the primaries will be in focus in the market. You know, in terms of the market reaction, again, we rely on data. We rely on our investor survey. And what we found pretty consistently in the investor surveys we've been running the last couple quarters is that most equity investors see a Trump victory as a positive stock market event, a Biden victory as a neutral stock market event, and a victory by another Democrat as a negative event for the stock market. We also, in the piece we put out yesterday, looked at an investor survey that we conducted last week of RBC analysts, and we actually asked the analysts to consider what would happen to their industries if we got a Warren win and we got a Democratic Congress, a sweeping Congress at the same time. We found that 64% of our analysts said that that would be a bearish or very bearish event for the market, and when we mapped it out at the sector level, we found that most of the 11 GIC sectors had some sort of adverse impact from the Warren platform.
Would it be bearish short-term or long-term?
So we've thought about this primarily as the first half of 2020, first half 2020 event in the market. We do feel like most of the pain in the market that would be inflicted from this policy uncertainty would happen probably before the election.
Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Always great talking to you. Thanks for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where markets are watching U.S.-China trade headlines, wondering which direction to go. Right now, slight losses for futures contracts ahead of the open. S&P futures are lower by 5 points right now. Dow futures down 47 points, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 10 points. The 10-year is up 3/32, yield 1.54%, and the 2-year Treasury yield 1.44%. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque, designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as investors digest the latest developments on trade. This morning, China signaled it would retaliate after the White House blacklisted 8 Chinese companies over alleged human rights violations. Begin more from Bloomberg, Selena Wang in Beijing.
These are high-profile tech superstars in China, and 4 of the 8 are actually already publicly traded. You have Hikvision and Dahua, which are in the video surveillance business, and they actually amount to as much as a third of the global market for video surveillance, and their cameras are all around the world, including in the United States. Then you have SenseTime, which is considered to be the world's most valuable artificial intelligence startup, last valued at $7.5 billion.
The blacklisting of those companies comes just days before trade negotiations are set to resume in Washington. No word yet on what form retaliation from China may take.
Investors will also be following Fed Chairman Jerome Powell when he speaks at the National Association for Business Economics Conference in Denver today. We'll bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 2:30 Wall Street time.
Ahead of that, the Labor Department issues its first inflation report of the week, the Producer Price Index. Economists forecast an increase of 0.1% in September.
In Europe, a jump in manufacturing fueled a surprise improvement in German industrial production following 2 months of decline. Output rose 0.3% from July.
Shares of London Stock Exchange Group are down 6% after takeover talks broke down. We get details from Bloomberg's Joe Easton in London.
The Hong Kong Exchange has dropped its £29.6 billion bid for the London Stock Exchange. This is basically because the LSE was unwilling to engage with Hong Kong over the deal. The new CEO of LSE, David Schwimmer, wasn't interested in taking negotiations further.
LSE will now focus on its acquisition of Refinitiv, and we should mention Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio, competes with Refinitiv in providing data and information to the financial industry.
And we are watching this headline crossing the Bloomberg. The UK's Boris Johnson telling Angela Merkel of Germany that a Brexit deal is essentially impossible. The two spoke by phone today. And we did see futures hit their low of the day following that headline. They're down about 8 points right now. Dow futures down 96 and NASDAQ futures down 22. The FTSE 100 is little change, while the DAX in Germany's down 0.8% and the CAC in Paris down 0.7%. The British pound is at 1.2233 against the dollar. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks for that. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump says he's removing troops from Syria. The move threatens to split some of his strongest supporters. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says it's just plainly time.
But once we captured ISIS, I don't want to stay there for the next 40 years. Not going to do anything. The end game is going to be the same.
But some of his strongest supporters, Mitch McConnell, Nikki Haley, and Lindsey Graham, say the move is scary to the core.
This impulsive decision
decision by the president has undone all the gains we've made, thrown the region into further chaos. Iran is licking their chops. And if I'm an ISIS fighter, I've got a second lease on life.
After seeing the uproar among friends, the president did backtrack a bit and threatened Turkey with total economic obliteration if it comes in to Syria. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Three House committees are expected to hear from more witnesses this week in the impeachment inquiry of President Trump. A deposition is set for today for the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. Gordon Sondland came under scrutiny last week after the former special envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, turned over text messages that appeared to show Sondland seeking to encourage Ukrainian officials to agree to, quote, the deliverable. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois was asked if the president asking Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and his son was wrong.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, look, it's if there's a lot that the Democrats are going to find out in this inquest they're doing. But if you found out that he held that, if he held the aid contingent upon that, that's one thing. I think it's just wrong for a president to talk to a foreign leader about anything regarding our domestic politics, period. Now, the question, which we all get into, is does that rise to the level of impeachment?
Meanwhile, a federal judge in New York sided with a Manhattan district attorney over a subpoena for Trump's tax returns. China's state broadcaster CCTV said today that it would halt broadcasts of exhibition NBA games as backlash intensified against the league. Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, tweeted support for Hong Kong's ongoing protest movement. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says values of equality, respect, and freedom of expression have long defined the NBA and will continue to do so. Silver, in a statement, says this is far more than growing our business. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, four teams had chances to clinch the division series, advance to the LCS, and only one did it. The Yankees with a 5-1 win in Minnesota, so another sweep for the Twins. They've beaten them 13 consecutive times in the postseason. Aaron Boone in the locker room celebration.
The way we played tonight was championship caliber baseball. I mean, you know, we scored five runs. It was tough for us a little bit offensively, but obviously putting up five runs is a good night, because I thought Minnesota brought it tonight. But our guys, time and time again, were able to foil something with a great defensive play or a big-time pitch, and just really proud of that effort.
The Twins had chances. They left 11 on, had the bases loaded, nobody out in the second inning, couldn't score off Luis Severino. They left them loaded again in the third. They left two on in the fifth, thanks to a defensive gem by Gleyber Torres, who at the plate had a homer, two doubles, and three runs scored. Twins killer D.D. Gregorius had two run scoring hits. Cameron Maben hit a home run. Severino worked the first four innings. The bullpen pitched the last five. Game one of the ALCS Saturday in New York, if Tampa Bay can come back on the Astros. Otherwise, in Houston, Rays and Astros have game four tonight. Tampa Bay won yesterday 10-3. Tonight they have to face Justin Verlander. Max Scherzer in Washington beat the Dodgers 6-1. They'll have a decisive game five tomorrow in L.A. What a series it's been. Braves and Cardinals, late inning comebacks in three of the four games. St. Louis won 5-4 in 10 on a Yadier Molina sack fly. His hit in the eighth inning tied the game. The 49ers, who won four games last season, are 4-0 this year, 31-3 over the Browns. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on how private equity is taking over the world. Also in this week's issue, what to do when you crash your $3 million Bugatti. Hannah Elliott doesn't own a Bugatti, but she did write the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You're probably going to call Bugatti directly and say, hey, guys, you may want to send a truck, and then the car will be sent back to France. You're not going to see it for a while. It's going to be some months before you get it back.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. It's on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe at MAG Go, and you can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, Dean and DeLuca, the gourmet grocer, has closed its flagship location in Manhattan. The Soho closing is temporary. According to a note posted on the door, the chain has been struggling to hold on amid stalling sales and a cutthroat competitive landscape. Businesses hit with a biometric or health data security breach could face heightened scrutiny from New York's Attorney General. As of October 23rd, companies whose customers include New York residents have to tell the Attorney General about any health data breach under the New York Shield Act. Environmentalists are renewing their attacks on plans to build New Jersey's first terminal for the export of liquefied natural gas on the site of an old DuPont explosives plant at Gibbstown in South Jersey. The company wants the terminal to transship goods like cars, refrigerated cargo, and natural gas liquids. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Southwest Airlines pilots are suing Boeing, saying the company rushed the grounded 737 MAX to production to stay competitive.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about the cancellation of a Brooklyn Nets event in Shanghai amid the NBA's China PR crisis.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on warnings about the cost to UK public finances from a no-deal Brexit.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting fallout from the GM strike has widened. The company suspended production of V8 engines and transmissions at a plant in Mexico.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching this morning, Deutsche Bank saying more about its plans for job cuts. The bank says it plans to cut about half its 18,000 jobs in Germany, as it relies on savings at the retail units to lower costs. Sources tell us the London market will also be hit especially hard, partly because of Brexit, while the U.S. may see a lower share of front office cuts once Deutsche Bank exits its equities trading business. Futures pointed lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea, daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Sources tell Bloomberg Deutsche Bank plans to cut about half its planned 18,000 jobs in Germany as it relies on savings at the retail units to lower costs. Meanwhile, the pound extending declines along with U.S. futures on the news that Boris Johnson told German Chancellor Angela Merkel a Brexit deal is essentially impossible if the EU demands Northern Ireland should stay in the bloc's customs union. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 9 points. Dow futures down 94, NASDAQ futures down 21, the DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. The FTSE 100 is little change, down about 0.1% now. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.53%, yield on the 2-year 1.44%. NYMEX crude oil is little change, down 3 cents at $52.73 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $2.10 at $15.06.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0988 against the dollar. British pound 1.2251, and the yen is at 107.07. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's move to end U.S. involvement in Syria has drawn a swift backlash from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. They warn that betraying America's Kurdish allies and walking away from the fight against the Islamic State could cause irreparable damage to U.S. interests. China's state TV has canceled airing the NBA's exhibition games after a backlash from a tweet by the Houston Rockets GM for supporting Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says values of equality, respect, and freedom of expressions have long been defined by the league. In baseball, the Yankees swept the Twins in their ALDS to advance. The Nationals beat the Dodgers 6-1 to force a deciding Game 5 in their NLDS. Monday Night Football, the 49ers clobbered the Browns 31-3. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It is 5:49 on Wall Street, and it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Elisa Martinuzzi joins us from our London bureau with a piece this morning about bankers once again getting ready to clear their desks as the latest round of layoffs hits the financial industry. Lisa, we just got those headlines moments ago about where Deutsche Bank plans to bring down the axe. And, of course, HSBC announced another round of layoffs yesterday. To say these are tough times for banks in Europe may be an understatement.
Yes, no, that's quite right. I think what the backdrop here is, of course, one in which banks were, you know, somewhat inefficient to begin with, you know, going into 2019. And then, of course, the interest rate expectations deteriorated further. So you're finding institutions that were already a little bit top heavy from a cost standpoint that now are having to deal with lower rates for much, much longer. And that, of course, is hurting their top line and therefore forcing a rethink about how you preserve that bottom line.
So is there a sense that these cost-cutting moves will right the ship for these banks?
Well, I think obviously it's a little bit hard to generalize, but you have some institutions, and you know, Deutsche Bank is one of those where, you know, which is embarking on a strategic refocusing. So they are exiting the equities business, for example, and scaling back in Germany. So they are, you know, taking a different approach to their business. But I think the pressure is on the others who don't need necessarily to a complete overhaul, to still be looking at the cost base and still be finding ways to do more with less. Bearing in mind, of course, that at the same time, banks and financial institutions in general are under tremendous pressure to upgrade their technology, to find new ways, new technology. So they're also facing investment pressure, which adds even more tension on that bottom line.
Is this pressure limited to Europe, or is there spillover risk into other regions of the world, particularly when you think about HSBC, which is a bank that, of course, is very Asia-focused?
I think, you know, HSBC's position is one in which, you know, they've obviously pivoted to Asia more, which generated about 80% of the pre-tax profit in the first half, and that growth they were counting on just isn't coming through. But I think if you look at, you know, what I was saying earlier about efficiency, and you compare the European banks, for example, to the US banks, it's quite clear that they are at very different levels. You've got a cost income ratio at the US banks, which is closer to 60-65%, whereas in Europe, that's closer to 70%. And that gives you a sense for the competitive advantage and disadvantage.
So are you looking for European banks to sort of adopt some of those efficiencies that have been taken on in U.S. banks, a greater reliance on technology once they get done with a lot of these cost-cutting measures?
Yes, I think that the challenge for the Europeans is to replace some of their legacy technology with new technology. And of course, that comes with a cost. They can also be doing more to reduce, you know, their branch networks. Of course, you know, one other factor that would help and would be, you know, greater consolidation, because it's still an extremely fragmented market. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be much expectation that there's going to be an awful lot of that, particularly on a cross-border basis, because of the, you know, the difficulties of managing banks across Europe still.
Are we seeing any impact of this belt tightening on the retail investor at this point?
I'm not sure, entirely sure what you mean by that, but I mean, I think what we're seeing is, you know, obviously the focus now in Europe is, you know, whether to pass on the cost of negative rates to consumers and, you know, less wealthy individuals. I think you're starting to see some of that to help, you know, to help the banks, but clearly not targeting your average, you know, your average saver, because of course that is potentially quite a damage to the, you know, to your franchise. It's unclear what the damage could be. And at this juncture, banks are still trying to rebuild their trust after the financial crisis. They cannot really afford to take on that unknown quantity.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist Elisa Martinuzzi with us from London. Elisa, thank you. And you can read her column. It's called Bankers Get Ready to Clear Your Desks Again. And more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the terminal, customers can type OPIN Go. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
California has become the first state to ban drug makers from brokering agreements that delay cheaper generic drugs from reaching the market. CBS and its Showtime networks have beaten a lawsuit filed by hedge fund coach Denise Scholl, who claimed a character in the series Billions was based on her and infringed on copyrights to her book. A court ruled the show and her book are not substantially similar. And a committee of unsecured creditors of the bankrupt pharmacy chain Fred's wants an investigation into Alden Global Capital's management of the retailer, arguing the hedge fund profited from a fast and unexpected demise.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching, the beginning of a new Supreme Court term. It's one that'll deal with hot-button issues, including gay rights, gun rights, abortion, and DACA. For more on the cases facing the justices, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with former U.S. Solicitor General Gregory Garr, a partner at Latham & Watkins.
The court hasn't heard a Second Amendment case in about a decade. It had an opportunity to drop the case over New York City's strict limits on where licensed handguns could be taken because New York loosened the restrictions. But it's going to keep it on the docket.
That's definitely true. It's another big issue on the plate. I mean, the court has not gotten back involved in the area of the Second Amendment for almost a decade, and a number of issues have been piling up in the lower courts, and I think it's been inevitable that sooner or later the court was going to have to get back involved here to provide some guidance. And, you know, here it is in the New York case that they decided to do that. Now, New York had filed a suggestion of mootness on the ground that they had changed the law at issue. The court ultimately declined to cancel the argument, but it did something that it not infrequently does, which is to refer the motion and the question of mootness to the oral argument itself and directed the parties to be prepared to address that issue at oral argument. So it's still possible that the case would go away on that ground. It just means we're going to have an argument in November to flesh things out a bit more.
I often count how many seconds it takes before a lawyer is interrupted in an oral argument with a question. And now the court says it's going to give lawyers 2 minutes uninterrupted. Does this give you comfort when you're going to be doing oral arguments?
Well, I think it's one of the biggest developments in Supreme Court oral arguments that we've seen in a long time. And I think practitioners are excited to see how it plays out. You know, as a lawyer, it tells you up front about how much time you're going to have and gives you an opportunity to try to frame the issues before the court. And I think all of that is terrific. But I think, you know, at the same time, the real argument doesn't start until the questions start flying. And I think, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's not going to change at all under the new rule as things play forward.
And as former U.S. Solicitor General Gregory Garr, a partner at Latham & Watkins, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more analysis of all the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast and visiting BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Right now, S&P futures are down 8.5 points, Dow futures down 96, and NASDAQ futures down 19. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.53%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.